from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Pleasant good morning to you. Hi there. Hi. Yep. This is Open Phone Friday. Patrick Timpone. We do things a little bit differently today. Well, quite a bit differently. Don't have a guest generally. And it's just you and I. We chatted up a bit and talk about some stuff and take some emails and phone calls. 888-663-6386. 888-663-6386. We call it Open Phone Friday. Been doing this, for almost 11 years. And it's kind of fun on Friday just to do something different, hang out a little bit. We're always doing silly things here that I can talk about. But sure love to hear from you. It's most is fun when you participate. The most is fun. Most folks email for some reason, but it's okay. Whatever you want to do. Again, the phone number, and I'd love to say hi to you, like right now, if you want. Call up and tell me about your life, and if you have any kind of questions or comments. And I don't do medical advice, but I've hung out with these people long enough that I have a few ideas of what could be done in the form of your health, and kind of talk to you as friends, and we could think, well, you could try this, and oftentimes, folks around the country also will write in and say, why doesn't George try this? There's a lot of things. And then, of course, we dig into the spiritual aspects of life, which for me is, well, it's everything, because that's all that matters. So I'd like to talk about that, too, and working on a book. Have two drafts completely done. Now we're combining draft one and draft two to be, I guess, the final draft before we get somebody to edit it, or I don't know how that works. But we'll figure it out as we go. Also, the screenplay is coming along. It really is. I had a chance to really spend some time with it over the holidays where we didn't do a show. Boy, that was so much fun, just getting up and doing that, not doing anything else. And screenwriting is really quite an interesting process. It's just one of the most fun things I've done, and where you just kind of get to play God, and people get to say what they want, what you want them to say, and do what you want them to do. But it's quite an art to learn it, to make it work. So people will even want to, first off, read the script. And that's the key. I mean, If it sucks in the first 10 pages, well, then they just throw it in a pile. So they say, you know, they do say a lot of stuff. So, you know, it's a whole package of putting a story together with characters who change and grow and say things interesting and do things interesting. And so it's a fun exercise. A lot of books out there on screenwriting. If you ever felt like you want to do it, that's going to be a real commodity in the future. Films for that is what all the Amazon and Netflix and YouTube and all the two main platforms, Amazon and Netflix. That's what it's all about is films. And people just chew them up and eat them out. And these people spend billions, I mean billions, to buy these things. You know, not for one movie or anything, but I think I read where Amazon paid $100 million to be able to to play, have people could play the old Friends sitcom. I don't know who would want to watch those. Those things are, what, 20 years old? They're very popular still. And so I think Amazon paid like $100 million for the rights to air those. It's really crazy what's going on out there. And, and I do have Amazon Prime and Netflix hooked up to a big screen, so I don't do any television, just those, and go through a lot of things. I like to watch documentaries and films, of course, to see how they do things. There's not a lot of really good stuff, in my opinion. There's not a lot of stuff that I want to watch. I mean, I have some pretty discerning taste, but I don't want to watch. I'm just not interested in watching most of the stuff that's out there. But that's just me. A lot of people, you know, they watch stuff, car crashes, I don't see a lot of stories with great characters and all that. There's of course a few, but you know, so I think there's a big opportunity for writing films and someday producing them and that kind of thing in the future in my life. So that's my kind of one of my plans to do when 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Got to have stuff to do. We can live a long time you live a long time. You can't run out of money. If you run out of money, that's no fun. Okay, here's our phone number, 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I never really thought about the idea of like, quote, retiring, unquote. I mean, what would you do? I just don't think it would be much fun at all, really, I guess it'd be fun. A lot of people like to travel around, but even then, you know, I don't know. So, yeah, I'd probably always be doing something when I'm 80 revs, 90, 100. I just keep doing stuff. Because to me, that's the fun part, doing stuff. So I've been playing around a little bit. I wanted to share with you with turpentine. Dr. Jennifer Daniels is an MD out of, and she lives in Panama. And we have her on the show the fourth Tuesday of the month. And she's been a big proponent of using turpentine for this and that. And I think one of her first shows we did on it 2, 3, 4 years ago, comes up first on Google. I don't know, something like, I just put in healing with turpentine. Anyway, thousands, kabillions of hits on it, on our website. But that was one of the first shows she did, I guess, on the terp. And it's got quite an interesting history to it. She said that the slaves used to use it and it kept them kind of healthy. And this is pure gum spirits of turpentine, and which is a real important key there. You just don't want to use like turpentine from Home Depot. It's a chemical kind of thing, but pure gum spirits of turpentine is just from the sap of the pine tree. And the one we like is in Amazon. It's called Diamond G Forest Products. And they're out of Georgia. We talked to the fellow, because the source, you know. And he just taps the tree and then distills it, the sap. That's all he does. And that's all it is. It is just really an essential oil. Even though the name sounds kind of funny. And the Diamond G Forest stuff, it smells really nice. And it does. But that doesn't mean you don't have to be careful with it. Because it's really a strong, strong medicine. I mean, doses of a teaspoon. I think most essential oils. What do they recommend? 2-3 drops in water, something like that. So you know, a whole teaspoon of an essential oil, and like that one, it's like, ooh, yeah. So. And she has a document called Candida Cleanser, and you can get that for free. Just shoot her your email so you get on her list, and you go to vitalitycapsules.com and see the Candida Cleaner Report, and that has the whole story and how to do it. And it's real important that you read that a lot before you do it, because if you're not eliminating at least three times a day, you can have other than a good experience with it, because it'll hang out in there, and if you start knocking out stuff, you want to move them on through and leave the building with Elvis. So about 10 days ago, I said, well, I'm just going to try this every day for about a week or so, just for fun. I dinked around with it, but I've never really done it ongoing in a week. And I prefer the castor oil over the sugar. I don't know why castor oil is just so really fun to get into the body. I mean, it's a really lovely thing to get in the body. It tastes pretty yucky, so you got to be careful with it. But I can turn you on to how to do it where you can barely taste it if you want. I can give you a little secret of how to do the castor oil. If you'd like, let me know. Email me and I'll just email me now and I'll do it live if you want. It's always good if somebody wants to hear something. But anyway, so I did a tablespoon of castor oil, teaspoon of the pure gum spirits, and did about 1 week in a row. And nothing really specific. I don't really have, knock on wood, any real things to think about. But I still had some remnants, little leftovers every now and again of the burning hunka burning love in my tummy, which had been like every day, and then gradually just going away. And never have really figured out exactly what it was. It was just a combination, probably, of a reaction to planet Earth and maybe eating some foods that my body didn't like, or who knows? I mean, it's, you just never know. It'd be great if I just knew. But Dr. Jennifer Daniels said, well, I asked her about it one time, and she says, well, what I think, I said, yeah. What I think, she says, is that I think that parasites, is what she said on there, parasites get onto the sphincter on the top, that LES, the lower esophageal sphincter, get there, and parasites will get on there. They hang out there and chomp, 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 and it irritates it, and that little sphincter will fly open every now and again, especially at night, because parasites like to eat at night. They're night feeders. They don't fast. They like to eat. And she said the turpentine will croak those guys, and that'll probably solve the problem. So since I still had a little bit going on now and then, I said, well, I'm going to try this. I mean, what the heck? Because who knows what else is in there. And any kind of low-level viruses or bacteria, it could go after those too. So I did a tablespoon of castor oil and a teaspoon of pure pine gum spirits of turpentine. Pure pine gum spirits of turpentine. So a lot of people want to hear me how to do it. Okay, and what brand is the best? Oh, castor oil. Well, what I do, my fave, is I go to Iodine Source down at the bottom of our website, Iodine Source, Phil Thomas, and he has some organic castor oil. And he also, I think he has some ozonated castor oil too. So that's what I use. I just go with the source. Once again, I know Phil, and he's got some good stuff, and organic is the bomb. That's what you want. And so I did that, and I did it in the morning first thing. And now that I'll tell you how I did it, it's really cool. What I found was one of those big old soup spoons that you get with a silverware set or whatever. They call it silverware. It's not silver, whatever it is. One of those big guys and that you never use, because who would put that huge spoon out there? It's probably a couple of tablespoons. I don't know what it is. Never measured it. you know, one of those big spoons. So I set that on the counter and kind of prop it up with some dish towel so it's kind of even and the stuff doesn't plop out. And then I just fill that little guy up with the castor oil almost to the top, maybe 3/4. So I'm sure it's more than a tablespoon, but with the castor oil, it doesn't matter. You can do as much as you want. Then I measure very carefully a teaspoon of the Diamond G, and I just slowly put it in the spoon, the castor oil, and then very gently mix it all up there together. They're both oil, so they're going to mix really well, you know, really good. You mix them guys all up there. So then you take that, big spoon and be very careful, lift it up, I'm doing it here, and then you drop it just on your tongue and make your tongue a little boat and so it doesn't go anywhere else. Right on your tongue. Don't let it go anywhere else. Taste buds are not on the tongue. They're all over the mouth. I don't believe they're on the tongue. Adam may know. I don't think they are. Or they may be under the tongue, but I don't believe they are. Because you don't really taste anything up on their tongue until it touches part of the mouth. And then get a big hit of something like almond milk. You can use orange juice. I've used that. That works really well. You could do water, but I like to get something a little more substance. And then you take a big gulp of that. And again, once again, it's still not, you haven't moved your tongue. Kind of tricky. And then you start swirling your head back and forth. You swirl that around and the castor oil and turpentine get into a little ball and they get encoded with this liquid that you're swirling around. And you do it, swirl around until you really feel right, and then you go, and you swallow the whole thing right down. And you can't even taste the castor oil because it's encapsulated in that almond milk or whatever. Pretty nifty. I mean, you barely taste it. And the turpentine, you don't taste at all. So that's really and you can get good at it. So this could be a way that you could have a teaspoon of castor oil or a quarter teaspoon every day for a month if you just really wanted to do a deep internal cleansing without the turpentine. And it's very powerful. And I think it's one of the bestest ways because I just envision it and I just make this up as I go, so I don't know what I'm talking about, but it kind of gets into the nooks and crannies everywhere in the stomach, small and large intestine. And with the turpentine in there, if there's any embedded, say, viral bacterial things, mostly probably in the small or large intestine, I think that the turpentine will go after them. And again, I'm just making this up. This is not something I read. This is just using my intuition and doing it for fun and experimenting. And so with or without, I think you could do that. Anybody could try that for a month or so. And I think you'd see some pretty interesting things come out of there or just feel better. And think about the emollient that the castor oil is anyway, the soothing of that. So who knows what it would do for a classic leaky gut thing. I don't know. But I suspect you'd have an interesting time with it as well. And you could do it at night. I'm going to do it again tonight. I'm going to start doing it at night for a while. So that's my little story. And then I could really feel a lot of stuff going on down there. And then I guess on Sunday, after I was at it for about 7 days in a row, and I woke up, well, in the middle of the night, I woke up and I had this raging sore throat thing that was like really huge, which, boy, I thought, well, this is cool. This is good. So something got croaked. And then I went back to sleep and woke up, I think it was Sunday, about 8 o'clock. And boy, I had flu symptoms extraordinary. I mean, you'd think I had the flu. I knew I didn't. I knew it was a Herxheimer thing from it. And I just felt really, might have happened on Saturday, really, really funky. You know, achies and, you know, but it was great because I knew that something good was going on. We had got in there and got something. And so I just drank a lot of water and didn't eat very much. And it passed in, 12, 18 hours. It's kind of withered away. So that's my little story. So I don't know what croaked down there. Could have been parasites, could have been, stomach feels even better down there, less sore over that sphincter. So maybe she was right. Maybe there was something going on with parasites and just virtually none. I would say scale of 1 to 10, 1 with any kind of burning, knock on wood. Methinks this is totally gone after a few years, and it's been about 4 or 5 days where nothing, again, knock on wood. I don't generally like to talk about these things like that, because as soon as you talk about it, it's, but I do it for you because you guys are cool and it's good to tell the truth, you know. I don't think you ever go wrong with telling the truth. This is Open Phone Friday, January 11th, 2019. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like, care to join us with question, comment, anything at all that you'd like to share in your life, or tell us about your adventures and experimenting with your body, or any kind of questions, talk about a past guest, be nice. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. I don't believe I've heard such a concise, clear explanation of what EMFs could possibly do to the body than recently with Dr. Lee Cowden.
Now, electromagnetic fields are multiply problematic because the electromagnetic fields will disrupt the membrane barriers. So it disrupts the gut barrier and allows more toxins to get from the gut into the bloodstream. It disrupts the blood vessel barrier, so you get more toxins from the bloodstream out into the tissues. It disrupts the blood-brain barrier, which allows more toxins from the bloodstream to get into the brain. And the electromagnetic fields are screwing up the electrical charge across the cell membrane. The health of a cell is determined primarily by the electrical charge across the cell membrane. But when you expose a cell to electromagnetic field, that charge across the cell membrane diminishes over time. And so the cell becomes sicker and sicker and sicker. Now, in addition, research from Europe shows that whenever you expose microbes to electromagnetic fields, they grow faster and produce more biotoxins. So we know that funguses, for example, will produce as much as 600 times more biotoxin or mycotoxin if they are outside of a Faraday cage compared to being inside of a Faraday cage in the same environment.
So as you know, the only way to absolutely be protected from all EMFs is live in a Faraday cage, but that's probably not very practicable. We have the Blue Shield technology through Brandon Amalani. We think this is a very, very effective ways to build your body's immunity with the cells. Look at the technology, talk to Brandon, email him, look at it closely, research it, and see what you think. Blue Shield, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. We got that promo thing going on too, where you get 10% from the Blue Shield line with Brandon. Just use promo code OneRadio. Brandon's the same fellow that does Shen Blossom. So if you want to look at his thing there too, that's pretty cool. Boy, he's got some really nice products. I'm going to order some today. Got in a four-pack of aloe yesterday. It was interesting. They send you a little email and let you know that it's been delivered. And out here in the country, it's good because sometimes the UPS guys get a little creative where they put it. And so if you don't walk out to the towards the trash can out by the street where they usually drop it. They don't bring it to the house. I'm too far from the road. Anyway, so I saw it, but then I kind of spaced it out, and I remembered it late last night before I went to bed, and so I walked out there in the dark and grabbed it, and so it was out there all day, and opened it up because I wanted to have some, and first one I pulled out of there, they only had about 10 ounces, which was thawed out, and it was sitting out there all day, and it hasn't been that warm, that cool here. I think yesterday, maybe 60, 55, 60, and it sat out there all day, and then it took about 3 days in transit. So the way they pack this is really clever. It's in very tightly packed, and if you had two to four gallons, they keep each other cold, so it's like a big, you know, they keep each other cold, and they pack it in styrofoam and then a cardboard box over that. So it's really a clever design, and it's going to come in especially this time of the year, virtually totally frozen, no matter where you live. And then you just put, if you get two, just put one in the freezer, leave one out on the counter until you get about, 10, 16 ounces. And just pour that up, put the other one back in the freezer. So you're always having really fresh aloe. It's just the aloe, there's nothing else. It's a great, great thing for tummy and pro-youthing. Just keeps you younger, your skin, hair, and nails. It's just a beautiful species. Just amazing. So many things. You can just Google around, go on YouTube, and just find people, talking about the benefits of aloe. Really good. So this is just probably the easiest, the best way to get it, other than have your own plant. Of course, that's the best way. Of course, I don't know how many plants it would take to get 4 gallons worth of pulp. You'd have to have a whole forest. I mean, plus it's a lot of work. But that would be, of course, the number one way right there, not even freeze it. But then frozen doesn't do anything to it except store it, in my opinion. It's the best way to do things. It's just a good way to do it. So you can get yourself, the minimum is 2, and look on the front page of One Radio Network, the aloe ad, and they also give you a nice tube of the Dermo, I don't know what they call it, but it's a face cream. And so you can imagine how many of those I have hanging around. I send some to Sharon and give some to friends because I get so much of this aloe. I love it so much. So you can get 2 as the minimum. So why don't you try it sometime? I think you'll have a good experience with it.
Starving for vitality, we're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support. Improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol, and protected in Miron glass, our elk antler is available in 3 strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
Just got a new shipment of elk velvet, so I like to have that with the pine pollen. It's just a...
When all the stars come out.
From Sir Thrifle.
That's when you hear the sound. Echo from all around. Sing La Luna.
La Luna.
And if your heart's aglow, wondering if it will show, why don't you let sing La Luna. And if it's just tonight, well, it's all in love. And if you cheek to cheek, dancing out in the street, sweeps you off your feet. Sing La Luna. And when you're far away, dreaming of yesterday, Roma comes back again. Just sing La Luna.
La Luna, La Luna. Open phone Friday. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick Timpone. Doodle, what you doing back so far? What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you a good girl? Where'd you go?
Huh?
She was out playing. You're all wet, girl. Doodle's all wet. And I'm all wet sometimes, too. Where you been, girl? You been in the creek or what? 888-663-6386 email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Doodles here as for emotional support. A little damp this morning, but she's amazing. Boy, we love throwing the ball in the creek. I was trying to figure out how I can get a picture of her, like, just because I have a little camera just jumping off. I have to get somebody else out here to throw the ball, and I can get down there in the creek, and I'm going to do that. You should see her, boy. She just takes a big leap and splash. She loves the creek. I had this idea that you could do a sauna, because we're only, 50 yards from the creek, something like that. Could do a sauna and walk out there and then jump into the creek, which is icy cold water, and then go back in the sauna and then do that a few times and probably wake you up. Phew, man. That'd do it. We were talking about movies and Adam's there. Hi, Adam. China is the new movie capital of the world. Really? The Chinese watch more movies than Americans, and the Wanda Group owns AMC Theaters and Legendary Pictures here in the U.S. Yeah, I read that they bought all the theaters. Well, I think maybe I could just learn Mandarin and make really good movies in China, for China. Oh, I bet you could sell a lot of more there. I wonder if they're good. But I think they dub in a lot of American movies. They like American movies, don't they? I guess you could do, they probably just do subtitles, right? Sure. Just make American movies and sell them in China. Okay, we have another market. All right, yeah, probably Mandarin would be a really good language to learn. The way things are going. Plus, there's always some ancient texts that I have read that say the yellow is going to be the next root race after the Aryan, which I guess the Aryan race is the root race now. And the yellow race is going to be next. And you certainly can see that. I mean, with 1.5 billion people, and they own their own central bank, so they don't borrow money. They just print it like we should do here. So they don't have any, they got a lot of debt because they're bonkers, just like everybody else. But they do own their own central bank, which is a big advantage. They're buying tons of gold. They know what they're doing. They are long-term planners. And I suspect, I don't know. I'll just throw out a number 20, 30 years from now. China could be a top dog, and just telling the United States what to do. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't wish that for this country, but we're pretty short-sighted politically, politically and financially. We have no idea what we're doing in the United States. And all countries are bonkers. But at least China doesn't go around butting into everybody's business, except for Taiwan. And they're business people. They're down in Africa, and they have been for about 10 years, buying up stuff, buying up rare earth minerals, buying up gold, building things down in Africa, because it's a huge resource. They're long-term strategic planners. Our country, we're pretty much just go, president to president, and they all change stuff and do stuff, and Congress people just stick around so they can get reelected. And we are really, just karmically, this country is in just a whole lot of trouble. We're going to get our just desserts someday. It's not something I, again, wish on this country, but, if you understand karma, as I do, cities have karma, counties have karma, countries have karma, families have karma, we have karma, and it all comes around and goes around. So when things are done in the name of a country, like some of the stuff that this country's done to other people, all the wars that we got involved in for money and not for anything else, which is all of them, essentially, you know, you got to pay back that someday. It's just the way it works. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. So Mandarin would probably be a good second language to have, and things really got weird. Of course, they're so polluted over there. I don't know how long you could survive, but, you know, maybe they'll figure that one out. But, you know, for the moment, I think United States is still the best place to be. At least we know which SOB we're dealing with, as the saying goes, right? You never know around the world. They change dictators and you know, pretty easily, and they have coups and counter coups and a lot more dangerous than it is here. So I think it's the best place to be for a while. But Mandarin would probably be a good thing to learn. I bet you'd be pretty tricky though, huh? A whole lot more difficult from a romance language like Spanish or Italian or French, which is pretty easy to learn. But, we're doing fine here for now. No telling. One of the most popular movies in China was Captain America. I'll be done, Adam says. It sold more tickets in China than in the U.S. Huh. So what do? They must do just subtitles, huh? Subtitles. Or some of them they try to dub them in. Which I hate. I can't stand. Have you ever seen those dubbed in, you know, Italian movies where they dub in American voices or something? They're so, so bad. I can't stand it. I couldn't. No way could I watch a thing like that. It's just so dumb. I'd rather read subtitles. And I don't mind subtitles. Do you? Nah. Okay. Open Phone Friday. So another thing I'm going to kind of dink around with, and I'm sure Adam has some ideas on it because he's a timing kind of a guy, and I suspect there's some really good things about eating breakfast. Otherwise, I don't know. I don't know if the intermittent fasting thing outweighs doing breakfast like nuts and fruits and stuff like that, morning foods. I don't know. But I'm going to play around with it a little bit several people, I guess, in the last week said it was a good thing. So that's why, I mean, the stem cell lady, what was her name? Kristen Camella, she says that when you intermittent fast, which would be, say, from dinner all the way to about noon with nothing, some people just do a dry fast too. You don't even do water. I think Marcus Rothkrantz mentioned that. He does the intermittent fasting thing, and he sure looks pretty good. Oh, he's only about, I think, 50, early 50s, but he looks good. And he's a raw food vegan guy, a veggie dude. Anyway, he says it's a good thing for hormones and that. And then this stem cell lady said that we produce more stem cells when we intermittent fast, like 18 hours. I don't know if it's true. Let's see, 8 and 8. Yeah, 8 and 8 would be 12. Yeah, 13, 14, 15, 16. Yeah, maybe 18 hours or 16 hours from 8 o'clock until noon. Then the fellow yesterday, the Keto-tarian fellow Dr. Cole, which I liked. I think he was very good. Very good show. And not very dogmatic or absolute about it. And he suggests that if you do intermittent fasting, skip breakfast, that your body produces more human growth hormones and builds the immune system. And he didn't mention the stem cells. So there may be something to it. I'm trying it today. I didn't have anything today. Just going to see how I feel until I get off the air and eat something or not. Fridays, I generally go lighter. That's kind of a fasting day for me anyway on the spiritual level. But I remember when I used to do Thursday night to Saturday morning every weekend as a spiritual kind of thing, and just do a little bit of lemon juice and maple syrup. And that's pretty cool to do a fast one day a week like that. I think it's really nice for your body to rest up a little bit. And but I suspect a little bit of fruit in the morning would be almost like a fast too. Fruit doesn't take a whole lot of digestion, and that no nuts, you know, just a little bit of fruit. But play around with it, and if you do any of the intermittent fasting thing, let me know how you feel and see if you don't look cuter. Just look in the mirror. Are you cuter? Okay, I'll do that. Does your skin like it? Do your eyes like it? Do your, you know, face like it and stuff like that? It's important because that's where the body really shows what's going on down there. Intermittent fasting. So in theory, then, I guess people used to, I think people used to do it, or they say, you know, they, and they talk a lot, they say that people used to do that all the time, dinner until lunch, and then, of course, that's where the term breakfast came from, when folks would begin to break the fast breakfast. That's where that came from. But I don't know. That may be an old wives' tale, too. You just never know about this kind of stuff like that. So those are some things that I've been playing around with. Oh, somebody sent me a video about all the benefits from aloe. Cool. Maybe we'll put that up on the front page. Jake writes in, I'm trying to sort out my teeth and my little boy's toothies. I love Ellie Phillips, but like so many others, I'm nervous about the fluoride. I noticed on one of your shows you mentioned you're doing a kind of modified protocol with the Pearlseum. Have you found this to be as effective, and would you recommend this over the use of fluoride? I bought some of the Pearl because Pearlseum isn't available here in the UK. Do you think it would be effective? Yeah, well, I don't know what you bought. So this is a pretty special product. But if it's just pearl, is it real pearl? Not mother of pearl, but real pearl. And see how they process it so it has all the energetic. The pearl that we promote, Jake, has this PhD and physicist, Dr. Ruolin Xu. She figured out a way how to blast open this pearl into a powder, and then you can, it has all the matrix and all the healing properties and all the special mojo of pearl. And she went to great extent to do that over in China, develop a technology. So it's hard to imagine that there's some other pearl maybe as well constructed as this one, but I didn't know that they didn't ship over there. That's interesting. They don't ship over there? The pearl sim you tried to order? They said, nada, nada, no. Or if you knew somebody here, they could buy it for you, and then they could just put it in a box and ship it over to you. That's an idea if you know somebody here in this country. Anyway, so, yeah, I do the closest. So, and the only things I do now are closest and xylitol. I think that's a good thing to do in between meals. It makes sense, and there's science behind it, that it keeps the body more in a remineralization mode in between meals where the food doesn't. And you could take a couple before bed, and if you wake up in the middle of the night, and it'll help your teeth to remineralize in the middle of the night. So that's all I do, and I like the closest. I think it's a good product. But as effective, I don't know. My teeth look great. They feel good. I haven't seen any of the other. I had a lot of little gum things that shrunk up there using Dr. Ellie's protocol, and I haven't seen those kind of go the other way. I've not done the DNA saliva test again. Probably should do that just for fun so I could kind of prove that there wasn't any, the microbiome in the mouth was not going back the way it was before her thing. And so I don't know. Adam says that the fluoride does screw up the pineal gland, but it models it. It kind of makes it more brittle because that's what fluoride does to the bone. So, and that's why Wayne Blakely says you need a bone filter to get rid of fluoride. Isn't that interesting how that's all ties together? So, yeah, I don't know. Probably don't want to model pineal gland, so I'll probably just stay off of the crest and not do that and the act. Not sure about the, I have to ask Dr. Ellie, I'm not sure if the Listerine would be effective without the crest. I don't think so. I think it works together with the crest. And but you know, if you're really having problems with the teeth, Jake, if you're really having some problems, I would opt to just do her program full on. Just do it exactly as she says, because we know that it works. And a little bit of fluoride that you get, you don't swallow it. It's hard to imagine that you do that for a year or so that it's going to really screw up your pineal gland. I certainly didn't feel like I lost any benefits from the pineal gland. I don't know. Who would know? I have all kinds of spiritual experiences, and I don't really think the physical pineal gland has anything to do with the spiritual aspect of it. That's just my opinion. A lot of people, like David Wilcox and all this stuff, decalcify your pineal gland and you'll become psychic. And I'm not buying any of that stuff. I'm just not. We're soul. We are not physical. We are not mental. We are not anything. And the pineal gland is physical. Maybe there's some kind of, there could be, and I'm just, because I don't know what I'm talking about, there could be some kind of energetic thing that the soul needs while in the body, but, you know, soul's not really in the body. Soul's all over the place, everywhere already. So it's just hard to imagine that anything physically is going to prohibit soul from doing anything it wants to do. It may be beneficial, you know, maybe it makes it easier for soul to do stuff with a happening pineal gland. I don't know. It's possible. That's above my pay grade. But whatever. I've known people that are, you know, just really sick and dying of, you know, cancer, and they're able to soul travel just like if their body was 100%. So, I don't know. But, you know, if you got a thing about fluoride as I do, then just don't do it and just play around. But I think those DNA tests are really kind of fun, and it certainly showed that there was benefit when I got on her program getting rid of some guys. You know, another thing we had a Dr. Lewis on, and boy, I really liked him, and he's going to come back on again soonest. I like that word, soonest. I don't know when exactly. I think towards the end of the month. Really liked him, and he laid a whole thing, what he does, where he's tying in cataracts and other things in the eyes, and glaucoma with Alzheimer's, and they're all kind of connected. He called them misfolded proteins, which is pretty interesting. And so they're using the eyes now to diagnose and do prognosis on people, and they can say that you have a low-grade infection, kind of prove that you have a low-grade infection with cataracts or glaucoma. Now, that's pretty interesting. Maybe there's a whole lot more low-grade infections going on out there than we know about, and that might be another reason to play around with the turpentine, you know, a couple times a year. Maybe I think the terp goes after viruses and bacteria as well as parasites. Does it? Do it not? Doesn't it? Yeah, I think so. Well, if it didn't, then I knew I had some parasites because I had that Herxheimer thing. So, you know, so the turpentine might be once a month to do it for a couple of days. Maybe there's a lot of this low-grade infection that we don't know about that's causing some autoimmune things with all of us and, you know, with the thyroid, you know, who knows. So, we've kind of cut back on making a lot of dogmatic and absolute statements about health and like you hear around the internet, because people just don't, you don't know for sure. Everybody's so uniquely different, so different, that it's just hard to be dogmatic or absolute about anything. Well, if you do this, you know, this is caused by that, and these kind of statements are caused by said by well-meaning people, but they're just looking at some research too. I mean, everything is a yes, no, maybe, which is the beauty of Adam Bergstrom's work, because it really is. Everything really is a yes, no, maybe. That's why that phrase is so poignant. You know, we used to put out the poignants during Christmas. No, poinsettias. But they will stick you. This is Open Phone Friday, January 11th, 2019. Patrick Timpone just blabbing away here. You're kind of quiet, so why don't one of you or two of you come and talk, so I don't have to talk so much, and tell me about your life. 888-663-6386. Emails, sure, but talking, no. Let's see. I heard... your guest, the stem cell lady. She said something that was really fun. She said, well, here's what I tell my friends. I just tell you that you get off grains, totally, any kind of grain, for 3 weeks. And she says, I'll bet you $1 million that you're going to feel a little bit better. You know, I'm tempted to do that just to see what all the fuss is about. You know, I don't want to do it, because then if I really feel different or more energy or sleep or whatever, and then I'll say, oh man, because I really like eating pasta from time to time. And I like Kittery. Do you know Kittery? Yeah, he used to play third base for the Dodgers. No, Kittery. Kittery is an Indian dish. Or you do split mung dal, and I like to use jasmine rice. But you can do brown rice, and then you do a few little spices and put vegetables in there. I had that last night. That's kind of fun. And every now and then I have some, what do they call that bread? Sprouted Ezekiel bread? Oh, another thing I'm doing all kinds of experiments. My gosh, I don't know why I'm doing this. And this may be part of the thing too, why my tummy's even better than ever. I did this test, what was it? About 6 months ago. Remember the test I did? And I did it after somebody said that they had really good experiences with their daughter, did the test and got off of this food, and her headaches of 10 years went away. It was the ELISA test? Yeah, the ELISA test or something like that. And it's a blood test. So I did this thing because I got so, you know, jazzed up about it. But being an Italian Scorpio, of course, I didn't do what it said to do. So it came back, and it said that three things that I would eat were not good for me, or sensitive for me. One was very sensitive, tomato, egg yolk, and one was moderate, which was dairy. So there'd be tomatoes, egg yolk, and dairy. Of course, being Italian Scorpio, I didn't do it, because I like to eat butter, and I like to eat butter and tomatoes, some spaghetti sauce, and... Oh, also white rice. White rice was on the list, yeah. And then butter. white rice, tomatoes, and oh, and then eggs too. Eggs, and I eat a lot of eggs. So I said, well, you know, this little stomach thing is not 100%. It's only 90%. Maybe I'm eating something that is not really happy for Mr. Tummy. So I pulled out that test and said, okay, well, for 3 weeks or so, I just won't eat any eggs, or I won't do any butter, I won't do any white rice. It didn't say anything about brown rice. So I guess I'm going to do that. So I'm doing that now too, just to see. But boy, I really love eggs and butter. But now ghee works. It's a different thing. The casein and the, and what's the other thing in there? The other thing in dairy are not in ghee. And I even asked them when that test came back. I said, how about ghee? And they wrote me back, said, no, ghee's fine. Just dairy, butter, and cream and stuff. And I was doing cream in a coffee and pounds of butter, not drinking any milk per se. So that could be, could have been an irritation that, you know, was causing some problems, duh. But, you know, like all good male species, we don't read directions or listen to anybody. So I'm experimenting. I'll let you know. Doing so much stuff now, I'd never know what would happen if I got to get this screenplay done. I want more energy, more clarity, more go power. Rocket ship. I bought the book by Marcus Rothkrantz called Love on Your Plate. I thought also if I would maybe start adding some more raw food into my diet, that might supercharge me a bit too. Get into screenplay mode more often. Raw food, they've got some really great raw food recipes. So now I just take the time to play with some of those and make some of the sauces, probably get some more raw food into my diet. I don't really do that well with just raw food as we know it. I do much better with cooked, just feeling in my tummy, but we'll see. So it's poetry in motion. We're just kids, so we can play around with our diet till the day we translate and leave our body and move on. Anyway, somebody writes in, what about millet as a grain? Yeah, I don't know. Is millet a grain? I know that quinoa, I used to know these, quinoa, amaranth, there's another one, millet. They're not really grains, are they? Boy, I never liked millet. It was always so yuck. But I don't think quinoa or buckwheat. Buckwheat is not a grain. Buckwheat is actually a botanical fruit. Did you know that? It's a fruit. So you could do buckwheat pancakes or buckwheat cereal. That's not a grain. That's right. Dr. Jeb taught us that. He did. Patrick, where did you say you could watch Fraser Bay? Root Cause? Yeah, Netflix. Netflix. You go to Netflix if you're, I guess if you stream, you could stream it on Netflix. I'm going to watch the whole thing again this weekend. Not just because I want to see my name on Netflix in the credits, but he was really nice to do that for me. Yeah, I didn't ask him, he just did it. I could take a picture of it, right, and show my grandchildren. See when Grandpa was on Netflix? 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Okay. Previously with Dr. Richard Ulrey and the relationship to the bacteria in our gut, to everything.
There's tremendous communication between the gut bacteria in the brain through the vagus nerves.
Oh.
The brain doesn't necessarily make a lot of stuff. It's kind of like living on Hawaii. Everything has to be imported. 80% of what your brain need is actually made by the gut bacteria for your brain to properly function and to regulate the rest of the body. Your gut bacteria is designed to make all of your vitamins. So if you're giving your patients vitamins, that means your gut bacteria is not making the vitamins for the body in question. I said, assuming you straighten out the gut and we've got all the right bacteria doing all the right things, making vitamins, the reason you need vitamins is so you can absorb minerals.
Ah, that's great. We're learning so much. We've always known the bacteria being important, but more and more. Wow. These Living Streams probiotics we're promoting, we believe they are some of the most bioactive, varied, unique human DNA probiotics in glass liquid available anywhere. All the products in our store, click on One Living Streams, and you'll get access to them all on OneRadioNetwork.com. Lisa wants to know, what does Dr. Cowden think about the far infrared saunas that Patrick is always talking about for detox?
Yeah, I like infrared saunas, near infrared and far infrared both. So those help to shake loose from our cells the toxins that are trapped inside our cells, and they go into the extracellular space. If you're working on your lymphatic system, then the toxins that are in the extracellular space will go into the lymphatic vessels and travel back to the central circulation and be pumped by the heart through the kidneys and into the urinary bladder and toilet, or through the liver and the gallbladder and the bowel, and finally into the toilet. And so that is an excellent way to detoxify.
Thank you, Dr. Lee Cowden. He wasn't particularly promoting our specific sauna per se, but it's certainly a good understanding from his perspective how this works. These are great units, low EMFs. I'll give you a sale price of $9.95 delivered continental U.S. simply by emailing me, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com. Email me, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com for the Relax Far Infrared Sauna sale price. Okay, this is Open Phone Friday, and January 11, 2019. Nah, they don't make them like they used to, do they? Nah. Be my baby. Open Phone Friday, Patrick Timpone, 888-663-6386. Probably should just change the name to Open Email Friday. Guys are so shy, eh? Oh, do. Akira writes in, how can I cash in my prize? Getting off the grains. Well, you'd have to talk to, make the deal with Dr. Camilla first. Sorry, just choked there a second. Water, because I want full paleo, no grains, legumes, or fresh dairy. Wow, for 6 years. No, I didn't feel any better, really. On the contrary, by the end of the 6 year, my GI health and function declined, and I decided that at that point, I have nothing to lose by starting gluten-free grains and legumes again. And what do you know? My GI is healthier than ever. They do provide unique prebiotic fiber that supports the proper probiotic bacteria. So this may be one reason. Ancestry may also play a role, but there are very few spots in the world where grains aren't traditional staple foods. Most of the blue zones, centenarians have both grains and dairy in their diet. This is Kira from Southern California. Yeah, well, you know, when you go the full paleo too, now I've never, no grains. They don't do legumes or dairy. What does she mean, fresh dairy for 6 years? You know, there may be some fiber issues there too with the GI thing. Wouldn't there be? Well, I guess you get enough fiber from vegetables. Yeah, I don't know. We're all so different. I mean, you just think around and play around. And but Kira didn't have, yeah, you could, yeah, get your $1 million, Kira. Get your $1 million. Have you done a water fast? How long did you fast? I've done several shorter fasts, 3 or 4 days, and a couple of longer ones, 10 days. Maybe if you water fast for at least 3 days, then do whatever diet you want to try it. Possibly just introducing one thing at a time would help. Oh, you mean just fast for 3 days and then... Yeah, I think I'm past, thanks. I think I'm past the... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I've done the water fasting. I did 21 days one time in the 80s. I did the master fast thing with maple syrup, lemon juice, and cayenne. Did 21 days. But, I'm just so right on the edge of what I want my weight to be. Like a 125. You know, I just want it. My face starts to sink in if I just get off of any carbs for 2 or 3 days, you know. I just, my body likes them. But I suppose if I just ate more fat, you know, you could do it. I don't know. I don't even know if there's an advantage. I think people just make so much stuff up. Open email Friday. Yeah, that's right. Oh, open mind Friday. That's a good one, too. Open my email Friday. I like it. Open mind Friday. That's good, too. Adam's on a pineal gland thing here this morning. If the pineal gland related to our spiritual life, a baby seal would be more evolved than a human being because their pineal gland is hundreds of times larger than the human grain of rice-sized version. Really? Our pineal gland is only the size of a grain of rice? No. Is that right? Woo. No wonder fluoride could model it. No kidding. It's how the bigger it is? Nah, I can't be that, really. Wayne Blakely says that that's the mother load of all. You get that baby happy and everybody's happy. Which two does he say are for the pineal gland? You'd have to look in the show notes. I think it's Chibide and Bifido. Oh, I'd have to look in the show notes in the last show he did. Yeah, he's got a little formula to clear up the pineal gland. I should know, but I eat all this stuff. You know, I take all this stuff anyway, so I'm figuring I'm getting all the whole thing somewhere along the line.